everybody is debating this as, are you for the mullahs or are you for regime change? You have to look at all of this in the history of it, and the neocons in 9/11 saying they were going to regime change seven countries and use 9/11 as the pretext.
Right after 9/11, about 10 days after 9/11, I went through the Pentagon and I saw Secretary Rumsfeld and Deputy Secretary Wolfowitz. I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me. And one of the generals called me in. He said, "Sir, you got to come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, "No, no." He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." He reached over on his desk. He picked up a piece of paper. And he said, "I just got this down from upstairs," meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran." I said, "Is it classified?" He said, "Yes, sir." I said, "Well, don't show it to me." Were we to get out early, we'd be intensifying the threat against us of a super powerful Sunni extremist group, which was now legitimated by overt Saudi funding in an effort to hang on to a toehold inside Iraq and block Iranian expansionism.
And it wasn't just Wesley Clark releasing classified info. They said the Project for New American Century, a year before 9/11, that they needed a big attack to be able to do this. And so I don't like the mullahs. I don't like their dictatorship, but this is not America first. So I've got a lot of the folks out there that don't like Iran because they blew up the Marine base and all the rest of it and attacked Israel. I don't like the Iranian leadership either. Neither does their population. They're very unpopular. Even Eric Prince, he's looked at the different ethnic and religious groups there, and there's a very good chance this is going to be a civil war. We're going to be sucked into a new Vietnam. And that's if we're successful getting rid of the mullahs. So it's a real roll of the dice. But no one can deny that this is an extremely bold move by Trump. And Trump said, if they're going to get a nuke, I'm going to go in and stop them. Now, here's the big story. And I told you this at least 15 years ago, and then I talked to other Pentagon sources, and they said, "Yeah, that's true, and you shouldn't know that." But they have cars, vans, taxi cabs, you name it, that the West has in Iran that drive around that have sensors on them that scoop up the air, and then they send it back and have it tested. And 15, 16 years ago, they were driving around the enrichment centers. So they stick them out in the middle of nowhere trying to keep away from that, but they can also follow vehicles that are transporting it. And they picked up heavily enriched uranium from the centrifuges. So when you hear Israel saying for 20 years, they're 2 weeks from a nuke, that's because they have been. Now, just because that's true doesn't mean Israel has a right to strike them. We're going to attack North Korea because they have nukes? I want to be clear. Iran is trying to get a weapons program. They refuse the peaceful program and the free fuel to build power reactors. They don't need reactors. They are full of oil and gas. So it is true that they've been pursuing a nuclear program. I don't believe you have a right to attack them just because of that. Can Iran attack Israel because they've got nukes? Now, here's the headline, and this is officially on the Iranian news channels. Iran needs only 1 week to conduct a nuclear test, says member of Iranian Security Committee, their Security Council, and a high-level member of parliament. There's a bunch of statements by the council. We can have a bomb in 1 hour. We can have a bomb in 1 day. We can have a nuclear test within 1 week. And Iran could test a nuke and show everybody. And, we've had Witkoff saying this earlier in the week. And the bigger deal is they have the delivery systems now with their medium-range ballistic missiles. Now, when I state those facts, people go, "Oh, my God, you're agreeing with Israeli propaganda." Not everything Israel says is a lie. Now Iran says they're 1 week away from being able to test one. And I predict it because that's the obvious move to say, "Hey, we got nukes." Okay, we got nukes. Because they look at North Korea and others that have nukes that don't get attacked. So this is a big deal. I love knives. I know you love knives. They have finally gotten a whole bunch of the knives that were sold out back in, and they've gotten a bunch of new, really nice flip knives. These bad boys right here. I mean, these are absolutely amazing. Flip really easy and locks for you. This is Forest Green, murdered out. It's got my little signature on it, so it's a little piece of history. It's a great memento. It's a great gift for your friends and family, and it funds the operation. And they're up to 50% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And while you're there, get some ultramethylene blue.
What do you got there, Angel Eyes?
It's a new Patriot Silver folding knife from thealexjonesstore.com.
Hey, Blondie, look at me. I got all three.
Good morning. Welcome to the American Indian Journal. Happy Tuesday, everyone. March 3rd. I can't believe we're already in March, but we're here. We're here. I'm getting ready to kick off another great show for you all today. So buckle up because we got a lot to discuss. You may have seen it. You may have seen it. If you didn't, we're going to catch you up on it. But the Clinton's deposition was released late yesterday afternoon. And we got our hands on some very important information, of course. And I'll be breaking down the very latest for you on that because there's a lot that I want to make sure you are read in on. But most importantly, one of the individuals in that room for the Clinton deposition was Congressman Eric Burleson. And he'll be joining the show in just a bit to break down the questions he asked the Clintons, as well as what he knows is going on behind the scenes and all of that. I got a lot of questions to ask him. So we look forward to having him on in just about 25 minutes. I'll also be joined by Ann Vandersteel as well, who's ready to sound off on the war with Iran. There's a lot going on there, a lot of different sound bites coming from individuals like, you know, the Secretary, Marco Rubio and others. Benjamin Netanyahu also doing media yesterday. He appeared on Sean Hannity's show. So we got a lot to discuss there. So Ann's ready to go on that front. We'll also be reacting to both the Pentagon's response and to the very latest in Iran with Captain John Conrad. Now, he is someone who I actually had the pleasure of meeting when I was over at the Pentagon. It was our very first day for the new media to be there, and he is also credentialed to cover the Pentagon as well. But there's a lot that I want to discuss with him in regards to Iran, because I'm sure many of you probably saw the very latest coming out from the region, the devastating news regarding six U.S. service members being killed. But what the heck are we doing there, and what the heck's going on? It's a lot. It's a very complex issue, and I look forward to John helping me break that down for our audience as well. So let's kick things off very first with the Clintons. Why not? Yesterday, you may have seen the deposition video publicly being released. It featured Bill and Hillary Clinton being both sworn in and their hours of long testimony. And of course, for Hillary, it was very unhinged because she wasn't very happy with the fact that she had to be there in the first place. But then for people like Bill, well, Bill had a couple of creepy moments. And by creepy moments, I mean like really creepy moments. His lawyer even at one moment had to stop and try to be like, Bill, stop it. Bill, stop it. Bill couldn't help himself when he was looking through images that were handed over by the DOJ. And he took a little walk down memory lane. That memory lane, oh, there goes the lawyer, grab it. Bill, oh, Bill, he can't seem to behave himself. He's so creepy. I kind of want to know what picture he was giving that creepy little grin at. His lawyer trying her very best to save Mr. Clinton. But of course, he's known for not being able to help himself. And that's the nicest way to put it. Now, obviously, lots come out over these last few hours, and we've been sifting through the most important parts of those depositions. So let's kick things off with some of the highlights from Bill's deposition in clip one.
Have you ever had contact with an individual by the name of Shante Davies?
I believe Shante was, that's a distinctly name. So I think that was the name of one of his flight attendants.
Okay. She's been described on being on a 2002 Africa trip and providing massages. Was she or any other young female on that trip underage at that time?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Did you ever receive a massage or have physical contact from her or anyone else on that trip?
You've seen the pictures. There was one time when I was sitting up and I got a back rub, my neck was.
Okay.
And I think Shante did it, but I'm not sure.
Okay. Did you ever visit Epstein's Little St. James Island?
No.
We have Virginia Guffrey, who has testified seeing you on the island with two young girls. Did this occur at all? Okay. Why do you think she would have made that claim?
Objection. Speculation. He can't possibly...
Have you ever met her or any other Epstein-associated underage girl?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. I'd like to ask you personally and directly, do you believe that Jeffrey Epstein killed himself?
Are you asking him to speculate on how Mr. Epstein died?
I'm asking what the president thinks of...
So you're asking his opinion?
Mr. President, was your friend Jeffrey Epstein suicidal?
Are you classifying him as a friend who he has testified that he was friendly?
He has called him a friend in a letter.
He said he was friendly, but not... True. You've asked for his testimony.
Mr. President,
here.
Do you believe that Jeffrey Epstein was suicidal?
Do you know?
Was he ever suicidal?
Best of your understanding.
I don't know. I only know what the medical finding was. I think maybe... He finally got caught, and I don't know. I've accepted it in my own mind. I don't know what happened.
Mr. President, what did you accept, that he killed himself or that he did not?
That he did, but I don't know.
Yes, sir. Thank
you,
Mr. President.
We don't. None of us know.
So do you recall the details of this photo or recall the photo being taken?
No, I don't think I ever knew the photo was taken.
Okay, and for those who can't see it, it's a photo of you in a hot tub. There's a person next to you here. Do you remember where it was taken? Where was it taken?
I'm almost sure that this taken, I think there's an adjacent photograph, which you probably have, that if people saw it, they would feel that someone was trying to con them showing this picture. But anyway, this picture was taken... in Brunei. And we flew one night on a trip to Asia, the last very long leg.
He said we. Who is that including?
Well, my TEL team that was working on the AIDS issue, and Mr. Epstein was there, and Miss Maxwell, but... Anyway, we got to the end of the flight was Brunei. It's a tiny place, but a very wealthy one. And the Sultan of Brunei was a man that I had gotten to know well in my 8 years as president. And his first involvement with international matters is basically to join the Asian Pacific Economic Leaders Conference, which I started in. Which he attended, and then he was very proud of that, and he hosted, his time came to host it. You know, you do these things in a rotation. And it came either at the very end of my term or maybe the next year. Anyway, he wanted, when he knew I was coming, and he said he wanted to help me with my AIDS initiative, and he invited me to stay there. And he said, I want you to stay at this hotel, and I hope you'll use the pool. So I did, and then I got out and went to bed, exhausted.
Just for the record, there's another picture that also shows this as part of the larger pool area. Do you all have that so that he can refresh his recollection with respect to that?
We should have it. It's quite enlightening. If you watch this...
Yes, it's noted.
It'll
yes.
give you a different feel.
Thank you.
Okay.
We do have it. We don't have it with us right now.
Okay.
We do.
Thanks. I just wanted to make sure he knew the context.
And so I just, were there other people in that pool or hot tub with you as well?
I don't think there's anybody in the hot tub. I didn't forgotten that there was anybody in the hot tub, but it was big, but it was about...
Well, there's
he's
a,
asking in the pool
it appears
area.
There's a, this photo, there's a girl over here. Is there someone?
Yeah, I don't know who that is. I hate this, but because I don't believe I should inject anything. But I do not want to leave the impression. But since there was no follow-up question, the president never, this is 20-something years ago, never said anything to me to make me think he was involved in anything improper with regard to Epstein either. He just didn't. That's the truth. As I said earlier, the only conversation I had with President Trump about this was in the early 2000s. And I have no information that he did anything wrong. I just want it all out there. I want everybody to get it all out there and let everybody see where we are.
And as you heard him say there, he was referring to President Donald Trump, that he did nothing wrong. Again, it looks like Bill and both Trump are validating that the two of them did nothing wrong. President Trump has spoken highly about Bill Clinton over the last few weeks. It's been quite strange, of course, even speaking highly about Hillary. Obviously, Bill Clinton is playing ignorant and probably the best in his defense. He didn't seem to know much, but there wasn't really much in the way of bombshell revealings that were made during Bill Clinton's deposition. And I thought it was quite interesting as we were sitting back and listening to Bill. Obviously, he's not in the best health. And obviously, he's pretending to pretend like he doesn't know anything. Probably good legal advice. Play ignorant. Now, his lawyers had to step on him a couple of times and grab things out of his hand because Bill was taking things a little too far. The whole deposition is currently available right now online. If you'd like to view it yourself, it's on YouTube. And you can do just that. It's a couple hours long. But feel free. Look away. Maybe you'll find a gem in that footage. And speaking of gems, by the way, Hillary Clinton obviously was present during all of this. And she, too, had to give her own deposition. Now, it was very interesting listening to Hillary because she had a couple of unhinged moments. And I have to say, I didn't hear questions that I thought were, again, Hillary said herself, she thought the questions were poorly worded. And she didn't understand the purpose on some of them. Even at one point, them asking her about UFOs was just very, very strange. But here's Hillary Clinton. These are the best of moments during Hillary Clinton's deposition that has just recently been released to the public. Take a listen to clip two.
The president of the United States is not above the law and should be in a setting like this answering questions under oath, as should others who are prominently featured in the files, and especially the group that is featured after 2008. Because prior to 2008, when Jeffrey Epstein pled guilty to the watered-down charges that Alex Acosta negotiated and then was rewarded for in the first Trump administration with a cabinet position, there are so many unanswered questions.
Relevant. If my wife saw pictures with me as a grown man hanging out with obviously or close to underage women, regardless if it was before we were married or not, it would be a question. And so what I'm asking you is, did any questions regarding those photographs come to your mind?
I am going to just as clearly as I can state, say I don't see the relevance of your question, and I am not going to talk about conversations that I had with my family, especially my husband.
And for clarity, are you all asserting spousal privilege?
For clarity, we're looking for the relevance of her conversations with her husband and what she might have thought about her conversations with Acosta. How does that help further the legislative purpose of this committee as they investigate the prosecution and investigations of Jeffrey Epstein?
I think Mr. Perry's questions directly relate
to her daughter?
To what?
To
my state of mind?
Her state of mind?
What possible relevance does my state of mind have to your investigation?
Just for the record, you would like her to identify pictures of her spouse? Need her here to testify on pictures of her spouse?
The 42nd President of the United States of America? That is my husband.
Okay, yes. How about the location?
I have no knowledge of the location. I have no context for the location. I know nothing about the location.
Does he exhibit characteristics? Is there a pattern that would lead you and your expertise to believe that he was an asset?
Well, there certainly is in the files, and I do commend you for getting as much released as you can. I hope you can get it all released. Hints of relationships with powerful foreign leaders, pictures,
emails, meetings. He was clearly somebody who traded off of information.
Exactly.
He liked to collect it, and then he liked to use it. I don't know any more details than that. So he is certainly, I said earlier, you know, the intelligence connections, the money connections, the crimes, those seem to me to be the, you know, the three major elements of your investigation.
Possible?
Well, it's certainly possible. It's a tried and true technique of certain intelligence agencies.
Do you believe that he was using honeypots in an effort to...
I can't speculate. People? I don't know.
Okay. And on the topic of transparency, Secretary, were you ever denied access or did you ever inquire on the topic of UAP or Gilgamesh in your official personal capacity and why?
I was never denied access because I never asked for access.
Okay. In the efforts of having a transparent government and restoring faith within our country, do you believe that the American people deserve access to those topics?
I do. Subject to any national security implications, I think the information should be made available. I think that's been ordered, or at least I read that it had been ordered.
And lastly, before I yield my time, Chairman Comer, do you believe that you were personally a target of an intelligence gathering operation specifically pertaining to Ghislaine Maxwell or Jeffrey Epstein?
I have no reason to believe that. I don't have any information.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Epstein is commenting, and he quotes, "Hey, Hillary Clinton is much prettier in person." This was Tuesday, September 20th, 2011. And then another...
Congressman...
I'm not going to object to that.
Yeah, that's the first time I think anyone's ever thought that she was attractive. So of course, you're not going to object to that. But folks, a lot you heard there. She obviously doesn't think that she was being utilized in any type of intelligence agency way. That's how she detailed it specifically for you there. Now, for some reason, the congresswoman from the great state of Florida, that's Anna Paulina Luna, seems to believe that. And she also backed it up during a press conference after that deposition was filmed. So she seems, and maybe she has evidence, that both Bill and Hillary were somehow, some way, the subjects of an intel gathering situation. Again, no details backing that one up. Thought that was interesting, though, that she kept driving that point home and wanted to make it very, very clear that she thought there was something more here. Now, as you heard, again, not explosive information, that same attorney jumping in on several occasions to stop and to correct and to prevent certain pieces of information from getting out there. Again, a lot of it was also speculation, and so one must wonder why the committee was so focused on the speculation regarding the Clintons' relationship, with Jeffrey Epstein. Not really bombshell, though. And like I mentioned, in just a few moments, we're going to be joined by one of the great congressmen that were in the room that day during both of those depositions. Eric Burleson will be joining us, and he's got a lot to sound off on in regards to all of that, because he, in receiving his questions, he did ask some great questions, and we look forward to talking to him about that. But there's so much information out there regarding the Epsteins and their interactions with Jeffrey Epstein. Now, of course, Hillary, and again, I understand that they can't really get one to land on Hillary. Hillary is going to be distancing herself from Jeffrey Epstein, rightfully so, but Bill can't do that. We know Bill was getting personal visits from Epstein to the White House specifically. We know they were friends. Now, Bill tried his very best to hide and pretend like they weren't that close. Actually, when they said that they were friends, the lawyer corrected them, said, I mean, they had a friendship at one point, but still continuously tried to distance themselves. That's the goal here. That's the goal here and everything. And then there was quite the strange interaction. As many of you guys know, Howard Lutnick, who's currently serving in this administration, was also brought up during Hillary Clinton's deposition. And the interesting part here is Hillary Clinton got really bothered when she was asked about Howard Lutnick. So between her and Congresswoman Nancy Mace, they got into a little bit of a heated dispute. And it was definitely kind of entertaining, I'd say. Listen to clip three.
Very much about at all.
And then how do you know Howard Lutnick?
I know Howard Lutnick because when I was senator on 9/11, the firm he headed, Cantor Fitzgerald, suffered the greatest loss of life. As I recall, something like 650 of his employees were murdered by terrorists that day.
Howard Lutnick missed being a victim because he was delayed dropping his child off to kindergarten. You asked the question. I'm going to answer your question.
Now you're going to
this was
me?
What I spent
you're
my time doing.
I'm a survivor trying to look out for other survivors.
Well,
trying to
and I was
of
taking care of the people who lost 3,000 lives
and now you're being
at World
defiant
Trade
and
Center.
Indignant today.
You asked me about Howard Lutnick.
I have met with
Lutnick.
Epstein survivors. I'm a survivor myself. You have emails. You've denied that Jeffrey Epstein, that you tried to get Jeffrey Epstein to give money to you.
I did
but
not.
Howard Lutnick was
if you have an email
money,
with me asking Jeffrey Epstein for money.
I have an email from Howard Lutnick sending it to Jeffrey Epstein and his people to raise money for you.
I don't know about
an event, an intimate event for you at his offices at Cantor Fitzgerald. You're going to sit here today and obfuscate and say to this committee, you didn't try to get money from Jeffrey Epstein. When there was an intimate event in an email that Howard Lutnick emailed to Epstein's people and Epstein to get him to come to your intimate event at Cantor Fitzgerald, a very small event. And so I'm not going to put it. You want to yell at me, that's fine, but I'll yell right back.
Well,
okay? I am looking out for survivors. I'm doing the job that you would not do and refuse to do as Secretary of State. Thank you, and I yield back to
Congressman Lutnick. No, I'm going to finish answering the question, which I have a right to do. I am very sympathetic to your personal situation. I have read about it. I have seen you testify or speak on the floor about it. And I very much sympathize with not only what you went through, but appreciate your effort to stand up for survivors. I was a senator representing the people who were murdered on 9/11. Nobody lost more people than Howard Lutnick. You can say whatever you want. You can call him and have him appear before the committee. But I knew him. I knew him as the man who lost the employees that he knew intimately, including his brother.
And he was a
so
double
I worked.
You and Jeffrey
let her finish
Epstein
her answer,
money
please.
For you.
Can, let her finish her answer.
You know what? If you don't want to hear what emotionally affected me, that's fine. But that's why I know Howard Lutnick.
All right, obviously, Howard Lutnick needs to come forward and needs to speak to the committee. It's very clear that there's strong ties between Howard Lutnick and Jeffrey Epstein, although he denies those ties, and he has a legal right to do just that. There needs to be more on that front. We need to learn more about his personal relationship, because, again, this is being called into question, and rightfully so. He continuously comes up in those emails, and again, like many, they continue to distance themselves from Jeffrey Epstein. And, I mean, who could blame them at this point in the game? Who could blame them? All right, guys, I want to remind our audience right now over at thealexjonesstore.com, we have an incredible, incredible energy shot that we just recently launched. And I'm telling you, you're going to love it. It's called Mind Fuel Energy Shots right now. And it's over at thealexjonesstore.com. It's caffeine-free, all vitamins, and you're never going to get those jitters. I'm telling you, I start my day every day with this energy shot, and I highly recommend you do the same. This is the cleanest boost of energy. And the best part about it, there's no crash at the end of the day. I love it for that reason alone. You could do one of these shots in the morning and you will feel the energy throughout the entire day. It lasts for the full day. I've never actually had something this amazing before. And I am so happy that we have it launched officially over at thealexjonesstore.com. So if you haven't tried it, you're missing out. You got to head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and make sure you grab yourself one of these energy shots. I stock up. I get about 2 boxes every 2 weeks, and I highly recommend you do the very same. So head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. We also have 25% off apparel right now as well, and that is until tomorrow. So head on over and grab some hats, hoodies, and t-shirts before it is too late. All right, folks, we got more to discuss in regards to the Epstein files and a deposition. Eric Carlson, the congressman from Missouri, is going to be jumping on with us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
The widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company.
Woo!
I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is gonna change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant. Absolutely. To everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's.
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your butt. Look, it's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones's methylene blue. It's pretty good, I gotta say. I've been using it on the road since we left the studios, and I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on it.
This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am, and the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Powered by methylene blue, ultra methylene blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
All right, many Americans are probably wondering still to this day if Jeffrey Epstein had any possible foreign ties to foreign intelligence agencies. Well, it was one of the many questions that came up during the deposition of Hillary Clinton. Take a listen.
As you know, Alexander Acosta, who gave Epstein the 2009 plea deal, he said, whenever he was asked, that he belonged to intelligence and to leave it alone. Were you, and I think you've answered this before, but if you could answer more directly, were you or anyone in the Obama administration, through your role in the State Department, or even afterwards in the Clinton Foundation, ever briefed on Epstein having any U.S. intelligence ties?
I was not.
Were you ever briefed of him having any foreign intelligence ties?
I was not.
Okay. Epstein filed a FOIA request in 2011 seeking any CIA records about himself. That would have been during your time as Secretary of State. Through your role, were you made aware of that FOIA request?
I was not.
Okay.
Was it ever responded to?
That's a good question.
I know nothing about it.
They haven't responded to us on our FOIA requests. So. Mm-hmm. In 2014, Epstein met with William Burns, who was then a senior State Department official and later a CIA director.
Excuse me, could you say what year that was again?
In 2014.
In 2014, he met with William Burns?
Mm-hmm. Epstein met with William Burns. As the Secretary of State at that time, were you aware of that meeting?
I wasn't Secretary of State in 2014.
Okay. Were you aware of the meeting with
not.
Mr. Burns? Okay.
And, all right, so let's step in finally, on this right now, because obviously Hillary, she denied a lot. She played dumb in a lot, I have to say. And she didn't really give away too much in the way of details. We've played, obviously, the clips in the beginning of the show of Hillary getting very unhinged when asked particular questions. But Hillary claims that she has no idea whether or not Jeffrey Epstein was acting on the behalf of possibly a foreign country, foreign intelligence. Joining me to discuss the man you heard in that video asking those tough questions. Welcome to the show, Congressman Eric Burleson. He's from the great state of Missouri, and he sits on the House Oversight Committee, and it's an honor to have him back on the program today, Congressman. So thank you for being here. I know you've been very, very busy. I wanted to get your reaction, because I know this was something so many Americans were concerned about, whether Jeffrey Epstein had ties to any type of foreign intelligence agencies. And you asked Hillary there. Did you think that Hillary was being honest with you in your response or in her response?
In that regard, I think that she may not know about any intelligence connections. But what I will say is that was probably the calmest moment for her of the day. She started the day off pretty bitter, pretty angry, and it just kind of escalated from there. In fact, the only way to de-escalate it was really to kind of ask her a couple of softball questions at the beginning, which is what I did. But what I will say is, pulling away from the insight that we gathered about Hillary is that this is an individual who is extremely obtuse to everyone around her. You know, she had an individual, Jeffrey Epstein, who visited the White House 17 times. He was at multiple documented receptions with her. She hired Ghislaine Maxwell's nephew, had no recollection that that was Ghislaine Maxwell's nephew. She received a $20,000 contribution. I don't know about you, but if someone writes me a check for that large of amount, I'm going to remember. She apparently had no recollection of it, didn't even remember sending a thank you. It's just, one thing after another that she did not recall. And one had to ask the question, what would it have taken for somebody to be put on your radar? If a $20,000 check wasn't enough, or visiting the White House 17 times, or being at all of these events, or helping raise money for the Clinton Global Initiative wasn't enough, what would it have taken? And so obviously she didn't really have, I think she's convinced herself that she doesn't recall anything. The other thing I think is remarkable is that when we ask the questions, now that you do know, and it's undeniable, the whole world knows what he was doing, and you reflect back on the fact that you did have connections and ties, and many of the people that you that are your friends and family had connections and ties. Have you asked, for example, your daughter, Chelsea, who would have been 21 at the time that she was traveling with the Epsteins, was she a potential victim? Because as a mother, I would think that that would be something that she would be concerned with. That was not something that she was at all concerned about. And the same thing with Bill. When Congressman Scott Perry asked questions about, now that you know what happened, did you ask your husband? She really refused to answer that line of questioning. So she was angry to be there from the beginning. At some point in the meeting, she became unhinged, particularly at Nancy Mace and Lauren Boebert. But we asked the questions we needed to ask, and we'll let the DOJ determine if they did anything wrong.
Yeah, and we'll play that clip, too, in a little bit as well in regards to her becoming very, very unhinged when she found out that Lauren Boebert had taken a photo of her. My question for you, Congressman, her attorneys and both Hillary, they've come forward and said that they actually wanted all of this to be on the record. They wanted this testimony to be issued publicly, but this was done behind closed doors. They've shifted blame over to House Republicans, saying that House Republicans wanted this to be a closed-door testimony. What was the reasoning for all of that, if true?
Well, this is the way that oversight always does. I mean, this is the way that we, that the oversight committee under the direction of the Democrats, they do, you always do a closed door deposition with the staff and their, and the staff attorneys of both the majority and the minority, and the members get to attend. And generally the members only get to ask questions after the staff had had their time. So it is not a, it's not intended to be a public hearing. It's intended to be a fact-finding hearing, which is why you don't want it to be politicized. You don't want to you don't want to have it be focused on trying to get sound bites. You really just are trying to get it. You're focused on trying to get answers.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that makes sense. And, you know, we sat back and watched the deposition of Bill Clinton as well. And there wasn't anything bombshell revealed, I feel, in that. Nothing that really caught our ear. He seems to have forgotten about his ties to Epstein, downplayed a lot of it, as many probably would assume, since he visited the White House, Epstein, 17 times. That they would probably consider him as a friend. But for some reason, they're kind of reclassifying their relationship and they don't want to be referred to as friends. What did you make of both Bill and Hillary's attempts to distance themselves from Epstein during their testimony?
Yeah, they definitely denied all of the, I mean, they definitely denied the relationship, but they couldn't deny all of the interactions and connections that we had the facts for. My line of questioning with Bill particularly related to two people. One was Doug Band, who was his body man, an individual who was handling his BlackBerry and apparently handling his email. The president denied ever even, you know, having a cell phone or having an email. He said that he sent just two emails in his entire life. You know, whether that's true or not, that's up to the DOJ to determine if that's accurate. But he said that he was not the one emailing Ghislaine Maxwell when Ghislaine Maxwell responded, you know, asking questions, very, very sexualized questions to the email that belonged to Bill Clinton. In one of them, she said, "Sorry to hear about the Bellsberg stuff is bad. I could not help myself. There was one juicy little tidbit I let out, the one about what a super stud you are and how I have a crush on you and how you are hung like a horse." And well, you get the picture. So it was extremely awkward to sit across from the former president of the United States and ask him if this was his, this email was directed at him. I think what was interesting is he insinuated that his body man, Doug Band, he was not aware of the physical relationship that Ghislaine Maxwell was having with Doug Band at the time. And wasn't aware of until all of these documents have come out recently. The other thing I asked about was related to Mark Middleton, who was Clinton's staffer that signed Jeffrey Epstein in when he visited the White House 17 times, and the suspicious death around Mark Middleton. This is the individual that, after the revelations occurred, committed suicide by both hanging himself and shooting himself with a shotgun. I asked the president in the politest way possible if he had any knowledge about whether or not that was more than just a suicide, and he did not.
Yeah, I think most Americans want to know about that one, too. That's one of the more familiar, well, that's the most famous suicides that took place surrounding the Clintons as well. So that's a that's interesting to hear that response. And I also want to ask the
It's just interesting that everyone that could have something to say it has committed suicide in a very mysterious way, right? Whether it's Jeffrey Epstein himself or Virginia Roberts, or Mark Middleton, there seems to be a lot of suicides that surround the Clintons, you know, not just with the Epstein, but in all of their past history.
Did you ask specifically that question? Because I was listening on speed, on like three times the speed when I was listening through the testimony. Did you ask that specific question to Bill or Hillary Clinton?
I asked specifically about the Mark Middleton question because that is related to the Epstein case. We were asked to try to, they are not required under the subpoena to answer any questions outside of the Epstein case. So I kept it to the Mark Middleton suicide question.
Interesting. Okay. And I also want to ask, too, because this came up during the testimony as well. It got very heated. We played that clip earlier between both Nancy Mace and Hillary Clinton in regards to Howard Lutnick. I think a lot of Americans want to know if Howard Lutnick's going to be called in front of your committee to testify. Do you guys have any plan to do just that?
I think that we should question Lutnick. whether behind closed doors. If you know, a lot of times the reason why you do it behind closed doors is if you determine that there's no reason to come and do a public hearing, right? So, but the public hearing always follows a closed door deposition, and it's for an additional reason. A lot of times, as a member, it is a highly publicized event. Everyone gets 5 minutes. That individual is in the hot seat, and it's generally an opportunity for the partisans on both sides to make their 5 minute speech and try to get sound bites and embarrass the witness publicly. It's not really to try to get any information. So I do think if we were to bring Mr. Lutnick forward in front of a public hearing, it would be an opportunity for the Democrats to just pounce on President Trump. So I don't think that we would get any facts out of that. I do think we probably need to get some answers from him behind closed doors. And of course, as in all cases, the conversations are made public, like the Clinton recordings have been.
Yeah, yeah. No, that we appreciate. And it did come out pretty quickly, too, as well. So that's worth noting. Before you go, Congressman, I want to ask you as well, because I know how House Republicans feel about this, but Democrats and even Hillary during her deposition continuously called on President Trump to also be brought forward as well. Do you guys have any intentions on doing that? Because even Bill himself seemed to have cleared President Trump.
Right. Well, it is another thing entirely different to bring forward the acting president. But I will also say, in his role currently, every day he faces questions from the press. So he's not avoiding the public on this. He's not avoiding the press. I mean, he is the one who has instructed his administration to release these documents. So I'm not sure. And having been someone that's sat for hours and hours reading the unredacted files, I even went through the list that Massey's team had given me of the documents that they thought had any connection to Trump whatsoever. And what I can tell you is there's really no smoking gun there. There's a lot of crazies, a lot of, I would say, people that are clinically insane that were being given interviews. And you can pick up on if they're saying insane or not as you're reading through it. Trump's name came up in some of those wild and crazy, interviews, but along with other people, whether it was Jay-Z or even George H.W. Bush was mentioned in one of them. If you're famous, you're listed in somebody's interview because there are schizophrenic people out there who want to talk to the FBI. But unfortunately, that all gets lost in the wash and confused. I really kind of wish that there was like a community notes on each of these interviews that the FBI does. That can kind of rate the validity of the person that they're interviewing.
Yeah, and that's what I was warning our audience about when they were throwing Jay-Z's name out there. It didn't seem like it was a credible individual, in my personal opinion. And so, you might not agree with someone's political takes, but you sure don't want to throw out bad names that don't have any substance to it in regards to these accusations. Congressman, I know we only have a minute left. I just want to quickly throw this your way. The DOJ is obviously under scrutiny for how they've released these files so far. Obviously, it's millions of pages, so there's a lot of chaos there. Are you happy with what the DOJ has released thus far? And do you think that they've been fully transparent released everything to the American people?
No, at first I was frustrated, but I kind of understand the scale and the impact that this is having, the negative impact this is having on the DOJ. We are all kind of frustrated that they're not prosecuting some of the people that they should be focused on, people like Jack Smith and others. And when you look at the fact that they've been focused, they've had 500 plus attorneys focused combing through these files, making sure that victims' names are not released, and scrambling in a frantic way to get it done by the deadline. I have some sympathy for the Department of Justice in that regard. So I think that given the strict time constraints, I think that they did a good job, and they've been willing to go back in if there's corrections that need to be made. So I do think that there's more documents that they should release. They need to be exhaustive in that effort and make it to where there's no real doubt from the minority on what documents have been released. But I have a feeling that no matter how many documents are released, they're always going to say or create a conspiracy theory that there's documents that are being withheld.
Yeah. Well, Congress, we're going to keep our eye on all things related to that. We appreciate all of your effort, and we appreciate all the great work you're doing on the committee. So thank you for that, Congressman Eric Burleson, joining us today. And we are very grateful for that. So thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, folks, we're keeping our eye right now on DHS Secretary Kristi Noem, who's testifying before the Senate right now. She is testifying before the Judiciary Committee. Today, it's in front of the Senate. Tomorrow, it's in front of the House. And so we'll keep our eye on that. If anything does occur that I think is worthy of your attention, we'll bring you straight there. But I cited a couple of things. I wanted to get the congressman all the time to talk, so I figured we'd wait and hold back to some of these sound bites until after we had him on the show. But I wanted to get to this. I don't know if you guys saw it at home, but this one I think is very, very important for you to see. Hillary Clinton was very unhappy, as you heard the congressman cite, when he found out that Congressman Lauren Boebert had taken a photo of her during her testimony and became very unhinged. Take a listen to clip 11.
Information. Okay. I went to the fundraiser to support my friend Nita Lowy.
All right.
Excuse me. Can I interrupt?
I have another.
There are photos that are being released of the secretary as she is testifying from inside this room. Can you please advise me as to whether or not that's permissible and consistent with the rules, particularly given that we have asked for a public hearing? If there are photos that are being released of the secretary as she is testifying, can you please explain how
I'm done with this. If you guys are doing that, I am done. You can hold me in contempt from now until the cows come home. This is just typical behavior.
We will go off the record.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
So I would like to understand how that's permissible.
Before the hearing was...
It doesn't matter. We all are abiding by the same rules.
I will take that down.
Yeah, well...
I would like to take a break at this moment.
Yeah, I'd
like to have
a conversation for now.
Go off the record. Go off the record.
Hillary Clinton doesn't seem to like photos of her being taken. Again, she was the one who called for this to be public record. She wanted this testimony to be done and delivered publicly, but seemed to get really bothered by Lauren Boebert's image. And Lauren Boebert, you know, Boebert did take credit initially when it was all going down. So, I don't know why she was so unhinged. Again, we're keeping our eye on DHS Secretary Kristi Noem's testimony. We'll bring that to you in just a little bit because I want to listen in right now because Dick Durbin is actually right now speaking with Noem. And obviously, he is the ranking member and a Democrat. So if we have that, guys, let's listen in right now.
To be eligible for DACA.
Sir, we follow all laws as applicable to the Department of Homeland Security and how we handle detainment and deportations.
Why did you deport them?
I don't know the details of that specific case you just read, but I'll look into it, sir. But we ensure that we follow the law that applies to our department and who we detain and who we deport back to their home countries.
You clearly violated the law if that is the case. Let me ask you about the fact that 85% of the 400,000 immigrants that ICE arrested during President Trump's first term in office had no violent criminal record. The president said over and over at his rallies, we're going after the worst of the worst, the terrorists, the murderers, the rapists. And then it turns out that 85% of the people you've gone after have no criminal history whatsoever. How do you explain that?
Sir, when you talk about violent crimes, what you're saying, the crimes that don't matter, that you aren't counting, are ones that affect American families every single day. You're not counting DUIs. You're not counting embezzlements. You're not counting theft, and you're not counting the other crimes against people and drug trafficking and do it, proliferating that. So if you don't count those as crimes, these individuals and impacting families in this country,
they are counted and they calculate those 14% of those. That
those are not counted in your 14%. If you were counting crimes that these individual illegal aliens in this country have committed, it would be well over 65 to 70% of the individuals that are detained today have those crimes on their record, besides the crime of being in this country illegally.
Can you back that up with some information for me?
Absolutely, I will.
I certainly hope you will. How does taking a father from a child dying of cancer qualify? Where would that be? Is that a violent crime?
I don't know what you're speaking or referencing.
I'll tell you exactly what I'm speaking of. Ruben Torres, 2 weeks ago, buried his daughter Ophelia. When he was arrested at the Home Depot in Norridge, Illinois, he said to those who, your agents, please let me go home. My daughter is dying of cancer. I would like to be with her in her last days of her life. They said no. They arrested him and deported him for 2 weeks. Finally, he returned for a court hearing. His daughter lived to see that hearing where the court said he was treated unfairly by your agency, and she died 3 days later. I was at her memorial service. Is that really necessary? Was he a violent criminal?
Sir, we enforce the law. The laws that are passed by this body and signed into statute on the process for individuals that are in this country illegally that have final removal orders in the process given in immigration law. We continue to follow that. And if you don't like the law, I would suggest you change the law. But that is what we do every single day is go out there. We
tried to change it with comprehensive immigration reform, and it was stopped by the Republican House of Representatives.
Our job at the department is to follow the law and make sure that we are a nation of laws, because a nation that doesn't follow the law is no nation at all.
I yield, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Graham.
Thank you very much for coming. Can you hear me?
Yep. Now we can.
Thanks very much. Let's talk about the scope of the problem you inherited here. My Democratic friends said that sensible immigration is what they've been pursuing, talked about the Gang of Eight and a lot of things I've worked on with. Would you say that the 4 years of Biden was sensible immigration?
No.
I wouldn't either. I would say it's an obliteration of the border. 11 million people came into this country during President Biden's term. He obliterated all controls. We sent them all over the country in planes, trains, and automobiles. And what's the scope of the problem you inherited? How would you describe the mess that Biden gave you very quickly?
Our country was in a chaotic time and invaded over our southern border. Millions and millions of people came into this country.
For 11,000 murderers, right?
Yes, that is correct.
2,700% increase in people on the terrorist watch list, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
During his 4 years, President Biden allowed 2,700% increase of people on the terrorist watch list to come into this country. In 2023, 172. Do you know where those people are?
No, not necessarily.
So we don't know where they are. They're here, but we don't know where they are because they didn't care if they came, and they haven't really looked very hard. So sensible immigration died on Biden's watch. It was replaced by out of control, open border, just absolute chaos. And to all the people on the front row that have lost loved ones, I am sorry. Your family members are a victim of an out of control, Democratic led effort to obliterate the border. And every senator on this side of the aisle, that side of the aisle, did nothing about it. Now they want to talk to you about problems we've had. Are these shootings being investigated in Minnesota?
Yes, they are.
They should be investigated in Minnesota. We want to have orderly processes.
All right, I'm going to step in on that. If you heard Noem, the DHS secretary, saying that, yes, there were known terrorists led into our country under the Biden regime, and DHS is struggling to find those terrorists. We're going to keep listening in because DHS is currently dealing with a partial shutdown because Republicans thought it was a good thing to make sure that they weren't fully funded. So obviously now Democrats are holding them hostage, and we are about to, I guess we are in a war with Iran right now, so that's probably not the best situation to be in. Folks, we got more to discuss in just a bit. Don't go anywhere.
So I'm not giving up. I'm not going away. If they shut us down, I got the Alex Jones Network. I don't know, and I'm going over there. You financed it. You paid for it. Your support. I'm just telling you, here's the weird paradox. I thought we'd be shut down last year. I thought we'd be shut down 2 months ago. The receiver won't let us order new product over at Infowars.com. So we're in this paradox now where we're winning, and now they're like, well, you'll actually be open in the middle of next year now and all this stuff, and there's no money because people believe it was going to shut down. Plus, there's no product. But I convinced the receiver. I said, can we at least make fundraising posters, which are very low cost, have a high markup, people know it's an investment, to keep us on the air? Can I do that? I said, yeah, you can do that. I can just tell you, we need your support right now at InfoWarsStore.com. Three posters I designed, two I designed, Rob designed the other one. Defend the West, famous Crusader King, make no peace with evil, say Crusader King, and then do like that still image of me, and it is the bestseller. It's I've only begun to fight John Paul Jones, and it's InfoWars 1997 to 2026. And yeah, you can buy unsigned for $25, big posters, glossy, in a tube, or you get it for $100. You're like, God, that's huge markup. Yeah, it's a fundraiser. Like when commies give NPR $200 for a ball cap, costs $15. That's the whole point. We're actually winning right now. I don't want to count chickens before they're hatched. It's not the Democrats. It's not the DOJ holdovers. They're going to shut us down. If you don't go get these posters and you don't support us, and I'm not bitching at you, I'm just telling you, I'm not saying you got to do it, then you'll be the ones to shut us down. This is a marathon, so please support us, InfoWarsStore.com. I need the money right now. It's like in Star Trek, Wrath of Khan. He goes, I need warp speed in 3 minutes, we're all dead.
Scotty, I need warp speed in 3 minutes or we're all dead.
And you guys have got us out of this over and over and over again. And me, I'm not giving up. We need to keep pushing because we've got their ass.